If you have your Bibles, let's open them, please, to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings for a moment. 2 Kings in chapter 4. We have this beautiful story tucked away in the Old Testament here. 2 Kings chapter 4. And we're going to look down in verse 8. Verse 8. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 8 here. All right. Is it cool enough in here for the ladies? Cool enough for the ladies? Too warm? Wow. Pastor, you never ask if the men are happy. I know. We know who pays the bills. It's the women. And so here we go. 2 Kings chapter number 4. And looking down in verse 8. And if you have a cell phone, if you'd be so kind to mute it or turn it on vibrate, that would just be great. All right. Here we go. And it came to pass, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, that's a city, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. So it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. She said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set before him there a bed. Verse 15, and he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said unto the lad, Carry him to his mother. To me, it's a little humorous. It's like, Dad didn't know what to do. Hey, bring him to mom. She'll know what to do. So we don't know if he was having a heat stroke, an aneurysm. We don't know what was happening here. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon or Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. And she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi his servant, Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she said, It is well. Verse 28, and she said, Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, Do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, Gird up thy loins, take my staff in thine hand. Verse 30, and the mother of the child said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul leaveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. Verse 32, and when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and lay upon his bed. And he went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain, and prayed unto the Lord. Then he returned, verse 35, and walked in the house to and fro, and went up, and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. A miracle took place. Father, bless this brief time we have. We need your help. Help us say what should be said on Mother's Day 2025. Amen. What a beautiful story. A woman could not have a child. The prophet prays, she's able to conceive. The child grows up, he's grown, he's working in the field, his head starts hurting, and they bring him to his mother, he dies. And of course, that's it. She carries him, puts him on the bed, and her husband says, you're saddling the horse, where are you going? She didn't even tell her husband the child had died. He said, where are you going? She said, I'm going to see the man of God. And by the way, anytime you have crisis, you always go to God, God's house, and God's word. That's where you first go. And she said, I'm going to see the man of God. And he said, it's not even church day. She said, it shall be well. Look at the faith that she said, she had. It shall be well. She goes, she sees the man of God, and he said, is it well with thee? And then he says, is it well with your husband? And is it well with the child? Here's what she said. It is well. What a woman. What faith. And God did a miracle and raised that child from the dead. I'm going to speak this morning on this subject. It's a question, is it well? Is it well with thee? Is it well with thee? Is it well with the mate? Is it well with the child? And as a church, whether we're a mother, whether we have children or not, we ought to all be pulling for all the children in this church because they're the next generation. We're ever going to turn this nation the way it ought to be and turn the state of California into a place that's about God and God's word. It's going to take the next generation doing something greater than we ever did. So I hope you'll listen on purpose, not tune out. Well, I'm not a mom. I don't need it. We all need what we're going to say today. Good Christians make good women. Good women make good wives. Good wives make good mothers. Three times in the story today, we see it said, the mother, never names her name, just calls her the Shunammite. What is a mom? She's a nurse. She's a surgeon. She's a dentist. She's a taxi cab driver. She's a counselor, a tutor, a spiritual advisor, a chef, a maid, teacher, seamstress, atmosphere maker, a homemaker, a dreamer. That's who mom is. If your spiritual life is struggling, your marriage is probably struggling. If your marriage is struggling, probably all your children are struggling. There's two ways to raise children. One, instinct. It's how we were raised. Well, this is how my mom and dad did it, so this is how we're going to do it. And in some cases, that's not the right way to raise kids. Then there is instruction. It's what does the Bible say? How are we supposed to raise our kids? We're supposed to raise them with commands, example, principles, warnings, and discipline. Let's find out. How many of you, when you were raised, you got spankings when you were a child? Let's just take a survey. All right, please come in right now. Arrest all these people. No. How many of you passed that, your parents had the new thoughts and you got timeouts. No spankings, you got timeouts. We hate you people. And someone says, Pastor, did your parents spank you? Yeah, it was torture. Mike, go get a switch. What? They didn't even have a paddle. We were so poor. I had to get a stick off of a tree. They'd tear those leaves off. That's why I learned to do the moonwalk with Michael Jackson, dancing. Had shorts on. Wow, 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 wow. You say, well, didn't you hate your parents because they spanked you? No. If you'd have seen how hard they spanked me, you would have loved them just for stopping. Clarence Sexton, at his funeral, his son stood up. He said, I'll never forget. He said, my memory of my dad was, my dad said, son, I'm going to spank you till you cry. He was in junior high school and he was bent over. His dad was just wailing on him and he wouldn't cry. He said, I'm going to spank you till you cry. His son stood up, looked at his dad. Here's what he said to Clarence Sexton. Well, you better pack a lunch then, Dad, because it's going to be a long day. If you're going to raise good kids, you have to have a goal. Basketball has a goal. I never can find it, but they say it has one. Soccer has a goal. Football has the goal post. You have to have a goal or you don't know what you're doing. Years ago, a woman called the church and she said, do you counsel people demon possessed? So I knew it was going to be an interesting counsel appointment. She said, I think my child is demon possessed. I said, really? She said, yes, he jumps on me, tries to strangle me, tries to cut me, knocks things off of the shelves, screams, he's out of control. I said, wow. I said, how old is this son? She said, 2. I said, well, bring him on in. I need another sermon illustration. She brought that little boy in. As soon as he came in, he started knocking all my books off my shelves and hissing and cursing her. And I said, hey, sit down. He sat down. She said, look at him. He's demon possessed. I said, ma'am, what do you feed this child? She said, we can't stop him. He eats what he wants to. Frosted Flakes for breakfast. He drinks Coca-Cola all the time and all of his candy bars. I said, do you ever spank or discipline this child? She said, we don't spank our kids. I said, all right. Appointment's over. I said, ma'am, the boy does not have a demon. His mother does. She grabbed him and stormed out, and I had a good day. We had a couple come to our house. We invited a couple over years ago that had a 3-year-old daughter, and my wife worked hard. She made the meal. We were trying to give hospitality and trying to disciple some people that had just gotten saved, and they didn't know anything. They sat at the meal. We prayed, and the little girl looked at the food prepared and said, I'm not eating this. So we just sat there in silence and looked at the bodybuilder husband, the little model-looking wife. So what you gonna do? They grabbed their daughter, put her in the car. They said, we'll be right back. They drove around for about 30 minutes. And finally they came back and they said, she's still not calmed down. Sometimes we have to drive around for hours to calm her down. I said, wow. They've probably driven to China and back by now. But no one ever taught them this. I've been in church over 60 years. I've seen good kids turn out, some kids not turn out, good kids who went south, and bad kids that turned around. One thing about it, you're going to have God. You know, the greatest child rearers, the greatest parents are always those who never had kids. They know what to tell you, what to do. The greatest pastors are those who've never pastored a church. It's just, the experts are always people who've never been there. You know what to do till you have kids. Then it's harder than you ever thought. Psalm 127 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. We need the Lord if we're going to turn out any good kids. We need Him. We need this book. We need to pray. We need God's help. You say, well, Pastor, give us the introduction. Here's the message. Is it? Well, here's the introductory points. Number one, you got to get out of order in order. If you've got life out of order, you got to get it back in order. For instance, here's God's order. You ready? Love God. Then you love somebody else. Then you marry them. Are you ready? Here's the order. Then you move in with each other. Then you're intimate with that person. Then you have kids. That's the Bible. That's not California, but that's the Bible. You get things out of order and soon your life is out of order. If you've ever seen a machine that says out of order, it means it doesn't work. But you line up with this book and you start getting things in order. And young people, let me just say this. Just because you're 18 or 21, well, you know, I can do what I want to. I'm an adult now. Yes, you can. But if you're a child of God, there's consequences. He said adulterers and fornicators, God will judge. There's a judgment. There's a guilt. If you cannot have resistance and say no now, you may not after you slip the ring on. Number two. Don't believe the misconception, if we can just have a child, it will heal our marriage problems. Are you kidding me? No sleep for 6 weeks is going to help your marriage? Wow, 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 wow. It's your turn. It's your turn. You had it. What? You had it. It's like that mom who said, I don't even know if it's really mine. Number next, misconception. The wife has got to go to work so you can have more things. Now, let me just encourage young couples just starting to have kids. If you can work it out where you can be home to see that kid take its first step, say its first words, that's what you want to do. When we started having kids, we cut back some things and cut back some wants. My wife homeschooled the kids for a while until the kids were all school age and ready. This isn't going over. I'm just quoting Brother Cavanaugh, so be mad at him. All right, Brother Cavanaugh. Number next, here's a misconception about rearing children. Single parents cannot make it without a man or a woman. Well, Pastor, I'm a single parent. There's no way I can raise these kids by myself. Better to have you and God than you and a mate that doesn't love God. A house divided shall surely fall. You look at single parents in the Bible who raise great kids. Some great kids. And they didn't have a mate. Well, they had an unsaved husband or unsaved wife. It can be done. Here's another one. Just quickly here. There is a place, and this is just a thought, called outside. We're trying to raise kids in the city, and they're too idle. I was out soul winning with my partner yesterday. We're door to door in a huge apartment complex. It's 11 a.m. We see bicycles, we see toys, we see signs of human life. Not one person was outside. Not one person. It looked like, I asked him, I said, did we get the Bible wrong? Were the unsaved people raptured out? And we got left behind, or what happened? No human life forms. Get the kids outside. Here's a bike, go ride it till dark. Here's a scooter. Here's some skates. This is a basketball. Shoot that till you can make 500 foul shots in a row. Then come eat. There's just a place. It used to be a place where parents said, Tommy and Mike, supper time! We hated to come in and eat. It interrupted our playtime. We'd run in, shovel it down, go back out to the dark. It's dark coming! Didn't kill us. We drank from a water hose. Every kid in the neighborhood drank from that same water hose. We forgot to put a helmet on to ride our bicycle. We didn't have knee pads when we played sports. Just the thought. You say, Pastor, that's probably what happened. You fell, hit your head. That's why y'all messed up. Okay, I got it. And let me just give you this child-rearing thought, and I'll give you the points of the message in a second. But you got to be close to your kids. You got to work on it all the time. When they're little, can I go to the store with you? Yes. Oh, McDonald's. Oh, Mickey Mouse. M-I-C-K-E-Y. But when they hit about 12, it all changes. You walk in the house and say, hey, who wants to go to 7-Eleven with me? And the teenagers in your house say, me? Go with you somewhere? You mean like in public? And every week you're re-winning their hearts. You got to, how do you stay close? Just some thoughts if you're taking notes. Travel. Go places. Get in a car. Go somewhere together. Travel. Time. If a child is wayward and struggling, greatest thing you can do, cut out large amounts of time and say, we need to spend some time one-on-one together. We got to get, we drifted, got to get that closeness back. Whatever's happened, we got to get that back. Touch. Task, working together. Talk. Trials. I was thinking about my mom this morning of, she was raised as a country girl, out in the sticks, farmland, no good church. They'd have an evangelist come in once a year and they'd pitch a tent and they'd preach for a week and that was it. That was church all year round. Never heard the gospel clearly. She became a nurse because her daddy made her mama cry a lot. My mom said I wanted to have some options so I wasn't stuck in a marriage if I got the wrong guy. A thought. My earliest recollections were sitting up in bed, Mike, time to get up. And I'd get a shot in my arm. That's how I woke up every morning. Had allergies. Not a hug, not a kiss. Wake up. Pain. She tried to take me fishing one time in Florida when my dad was just always busy. She brought me on a bridge. That line must have been 50 feet long. I don't even think the fish could even see it. I remember her singing to me, rocking me. I remember the Sunday my mom walked to the front of the church and accepted Christ as her Savior. I'll never forget it. I remember my mom getting baptized at church. I remember the next morning seeing my mom open her Bible at the table and had a cup of coffee, and I saw her read her Bible every single morning. One day she said, "I finished the whole New Testament today." Amen. Never saw her with a cigarette in her mouth. Never saw her with a Bud Light or a beer in her hand. Never heard my mom say a curse word. Never saw her wear immodest clothing. Never saw her chase another man, say anything appropriate, never a dirty joke, never saw it. I got back from camp, and the Lord had turned my heart around. I remember getting off the church bus. I just hugged my mom, and I started crying, and I said, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry for how I've treated you." I told her God had called me to preach, and she was so happy and proud, supported me, encouraged me. When I moved out here, she said, "Give me your calendar. If you're speaking at other churches, I'll pray for you the whole time that you're preaching those meetings." And I know that she did. She came to my graduation from high school. Dad was out of town. Altar trips to see her. My brother and I sent her on Alaska cruise with us. She loved being here at this church. She spent her 90th birthday here. When I wasn't there, I'd send her flowers. Birthday, Mother's Day. I miss her a lot, but I'm glad I'll see her again. Amen. Let me ask you a question in the remainder of the message. Is it well with thee? Is it well with you and the Lord? If we got the Lord on the phone and said, "Is your child totally right with you? Is there anything between you and them?" Would they say it's well? Married couples, is it well between you and each other? Husbands, is it well with you and your wife? Is it well with you and your husband? See, what we want is we want to do our own thing, not be right with him, and want our kids to turn out to be preachers and missionaries. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Some of them are seeing this. They see, we act this way at church, but we act this way at home. I get it. It's just a game. But when parents are the same at home and same at church, the kids say, "Hey, this is worth living. This is Christianity. This is what I want for my life." And that's the goal. God doesn't expect perfection from any of us, but he does expect honesty. Is it well with thee? I'm not trying to stir up failure. No parent bats a thousand. None of us at age 40, 50, 60 say, "If I had to do it all over, I'd raise my kids exactly the way I raised them." We all made mistakes. None of us were raised perfect. We didn't have perfect examples. We did the best we could, which sometimes wasn't very good. But I want to end with this. Why do we lose the good kids? How could a kid grow up in this church and one day end up in jail the rest of his life? How could a kid come here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, attend, graduate from our Christian school, turn their back on God, cast their Bible in at Goodwill and say, "I'm done"? How does that happen? We want it to be well with us, well with them. I'm going to give you some suggestions here today, and you can search the scriptures here. This Bible is so worth reading for families. It'll tell you good people that turned out bad kids. It'll tell you about bad people that turned out good kids. Because young people, let me remind you, you have a choice. You can blame your parents like, "Well, my dad was alcoholic, my mom was a drug addict, and that's why I'm a gang member." Shame on you. Stop making excuses. Stop blaming others. Hey, my dad, mafia. Me, ministry. Try that. Doesn't make any sense. You have choices. You can serve the Lord if you want to. You can make it if you want to. Amen. Learn from your parents. Learn what not to do. And in good cases, here's what I want to do. I want to give you these thoughts. Here we are. Number one, sometimes we get too old and too tired. We're too old to correct, too tired to discipline, too old to deal with it. Let me just remind you. You take time now with your kids, or you take time later at juvenile hall when you go visit them. You take time now with your kids, or you get to go to San Quentin, and if the president has his way, maybe Alcatraz to visit them. I think there's a ferry. You can go on the ferry there to make those visits. We cannot feel too, well, I'm just too old to deal with this. You had the kids. You're responsible. Now let's deal with it. Number two, influences unguarded. How could a kid that comes to church end up in so much evil? Here's why. Influences unguarded. Old illustration, I'll repeat a few things. When we built our two-story building, I was new to a lot of construction. I don't know how many cement trucks they brought in, 9 or 16, I forget. But it was a huge pad. They were covering up all the gravel, the rebar, all the underground, the plumbing, the fire sprinklers, all that. So it was being covered in cement. Where they got their little things to straighten it out, the squeegees, and all day job. At the end of the day, there's one worker left. And I said, hey, man, you need a ride home? He just had a broom. He said, nah, I'm fine. I said, did they forget you? He said, no, I'm just here till the end of the day. I said, so what are you doing? He said, I'm making sure people don't ride on the cement or ride their bikes across the cement. I'm guarding the cement. And here's what happens. If we're not careful as parents, we pour the cement into the mold. Here's our kids. Pouring them in, that's not enough. Now you got to stand there and guard them. People like to write stuff in their brain. People like to mess up that cement. You got to guard it till it hardens. Who's the influencer? Sometimes school. Let me ask you a question, parent. I'm just getting you a thing. Is this okay? Is this okay? Okay. School. You know your teacher's names of your kids. My kid goes to Army Ojai. Okay, good. What's his math teacher's name? What's his belief? What's his sexual choice? Was he born a man? Is he still a man? Does he love our country? Does he hate our country? Does he hate God's countries? Does he believe the Bible? What's the PE teacher's name? What's the social studies teacher's name? You know what they believe. That person has your child for an hour a day molding their mind and their values, and we don't even know their names. You say, well, it's a government school. It's got to be okay. Now, whether you homeschool, whether you put them in a Christian school, whether you put them in this school, you got to guard the cement. You got to guard their friend. Well, where's your kids? They're down the street playing. With who? What's their name? What do they believe? Do they look at pornography? Do they show people pornography on their phone? What do they believe? Do they curse? Do they take God's name in vain? Who is it we're letting our kids hang around? Got to have to guard the cement. Say, well, pastor, I almost have to quit my job. Just watch my kids all the time. It may be worth that. Friends? School, ready? Media. Well, my kids would never be around the wrong crowd. Nope. What's this? Hand grenade. We need to know where you are at all times. You're in fourth grade here. Just don't pull the pin. Don't pull the pin, it'll blow your life up. You may meet someone, you may see filth, you may see pornography, you're going to see curse words, you're going to see nudity, you're going to see vile act. Don't pull the pin, but keep it in your pocket. The kids are going to pull the pin. Teenage boys, curious. They're not going to look up some words. They're not going to view some things they shouldn't. The cement is wet. You got to be so careful. Come up with a contract for the phone. You ever look at pornography, you've lost your phone the rest of your life. You're texting while you're driving, you've lost your phone. You ride with someone who texts while they drive, sometimes the cement's drying. Sometimes it's friends, sometimes it's music. Sometimes it's a job. Well, my son just got their first job. We're so happy. Now they work Sundays and they work Wednesdays. They can't go to youth conference. And look at that. Is this going too long? It's Mother's Day. We're going out to eat. I'll give you the rest of the points. Here they are. Number three, idle time. Idle time. The kids have to be busy. Get up, sleepy head. Here's just something to do. Here's some chores. Here's a job. Yeah, this is your responsibility. Number four, inconsistent days. Folks, we all go through trials. There's times where we're going to hit some low valleys, but the kids are counting on you to be consistent. We're in church. Hey, we're going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. We're all in. 6 years later, where, oh, where is my church member tonight? Oh, where have they gone? You're going to have to be in. You're going to have to be consistent. Inconsistent days. Lot moved, lost his whole family. Elimelech, just going to leave town because, there's a job shortage and lost his family. Number next, a house divided. A house divided. We've done this a long time ago. Can I get the Hambleys up here just for a second here? A house divided. The Bible says a house divided shall surely fall. I'm just going to have them use this pulpit here, this pulpit mic here, right here. Okay, ready to go. And Alan, can you just start reading right here? And Lisa, I want you to start reading over here or vice versa. One, start here, one here. As close to the microphone as you can, okay? Ready? Go.
And Gehazi bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather than when he saith to thee, wash and be clean, then went he down and dipped himself seven times.
And when Elisha was come.
Okay, that's pretty good. All right, thank you. Very good. Yeah, they are college graduates. And you can tell. You can tell. Give them a hand, would you please? Wonderful. Good. So what's the problem there? They're not on the same page. They're not on the same page. That's why if you're a Christian, you want to marry a Christian or you're not on the same page. If you're sold out to God, you want to date and marry someone that's sold out to God. Why? Or you won't be on the same page. You want to go to church and have the same belief and the same book and the same future and heaven bound. Or you won't make it. He says, a house divided shall fall. Sometimes it's a house divided. Mom goes to church, dad won't come. Kids want to come to church, parents won't come. Parents come to church, the kids don't want to come. The house is falling. Why do we lose the good kids? Quickly here. We won't confront. How many of you are natural confronters? When there's an issue, you can get in someone's face or your kid's face right away. It kind of comes natural. And for some of you, it's even enjoyable. Slip your hand up. I know how you are. How many of you, the kid gets in trouble, it's like, man, when am I going to talk? Oh, man, I don't like this. How many of you are not natural confronters? Probably a lot of us. Samson was in all sorts of trouble. And his daddy wouldn't handle business. His son said, give me her for a wife. I'm going to marry her. Give me. And his dad never said anything to him. His daddy's name means quiet. Manoah, quiet. Let me give you this other one quickly. We fail and quit. Well, Pastor, I fell off the wagon. I've been coming to church. I hadn't drank in 20 years, and I got drunk and I got a DUI and never coming to church. I'm such a failure. Hey, get on back here. The rest of us failures need you. We've all failed at something. Get past it. Look at it. I shouldn't have done that. I cussed. I did this. Hey, I had an affair. I messed up my life. But I'm sorry. I want to try to get my family back. Hey, don't quit. Here's another one. Say, how many do you have, Pastor? Wendy's closes at 10. I give these just quickly. Sideways with authority. Sideways with authority. You want to resolve conflict quickly. Just resolve it quickly. The kids are worth it. You got a problem with a Christian school principal? Have a meeting with the Christian school principal. Deal with it. Not out in the open. Not in front of your kid. Deal with it. Pastor hollered and said something that embarrassed you in church. Doug Sisson said, if you've never had your feelings hurt at church, you must not attend very much. Pastor says something, you say, I just felt like that was all just directed at me and aimed at me and embarrassed me. Come, talk about it. Sideways with authority, quickly. No one is praying. If you're not praying for your kids by name, you think there's a lot of other people that are? I think of a pastor friend of mine, his daughter was struggling, teenage daughter, and she was in church because she had to be there. And he told me, he said, man, pray for me, man, we're just struggling with that girl. She wants that world so much. She's like a horse ready to go out of the Kentucky Derby and waiting for the gates to open. And he said, I've been sleeping in front of her bedroom door every night on the floor, praying and making sure if she tries to leave in the middle of the night, I'm going to get woke up. That girl's in the ministry right now. They prayed her through a tough time. Amen. I'll end with this. No, I'm not. I'm going to give you all 3 points and then we're finished. Sometimes we don't invest in our own. A man had promised his son, he said, I'm going to take you to the circus Friday night. His son was all excited, looking forward to the circus. On Friday afternoon, the man's boss called and he said, hey man, something's come up at work. We need you to come down to work. You're not off tonight. And the wife was listening, conversation, and the husband said, I can't come. I've got a priority I cannot break. Made a promise to my son. I can't come in. His wife said, the circus will come back to town. And the dad said, yes, but boyhood won't. Sometimes it's an investment. Have you noticed? Time is flying. I got 2 twin granddaughters graduating from kindergarten this week. I got a granddaughter graduating from high school this week. Time flies. You have that child, it's baby dedication. Lord, we dedicate this baby to you. Tomorrow it's dun, 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 dun. And then it's wow, 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 I'm a grandparent. It just that fast. And pretty soon you're the old person in the church. Right, Brother Jeff? Jeff Rowe, I'm talking about. Sometimes we lose the good kids because we're just not any fun anymore. Well, all we do is get up, go to church, get up, go to church. Our house is so boring. We're going to have to dream up some fun. It ought to be fun at your house. It ought to be fun to be around you.